Hi, everyone. Welcome to the We Shape podcast. Hello,
Hello
Nina.
Today.
It's just Nina and I again today. Tyler is on a camping trip.
Yes, he is.
And he's roughing it. No bathrooms, no showers, manual labor on a farm all day.
Yeah.
He said everyone smells really bad. He has to like,
that'll happen.
He has to like go miles away to like call me like once a day and say, hey, and I'm like, are you good? He's like, it's okay. And I'm like, oh no, I'm so sorry.
I love it though, because he's like a kind of a primal guy with like the grounding, with the like hiking barefoot and whatnot. I'm like, yeah, that's what it's really like. I hope you're enjoying.
But that's what I mean. I'm like, if he is like struggling
be,
a little,
yeah.
I'm like, intense, oh dear. He's a better person than I am to volunteer for that, because I am not volunteering for that. But yeah, so it's just us today, but we have a great guest that I've been on her podcast. I'm really excited. The conversation's going to go seamlessly. How are you doing?
I'm good. We were joking earlier before we hopped on that we both were awake a lot last night and we should have just hung out.
I can't believe I don't text you
in
the middle of
the
night
me.
When I'm awake.
Yeah.
My child kept me up. Your unborn child kept you up.
Yes. Insomnia buddies.
I'll text
you. Not our fault, really.
Probably tonight.
Let's do it.
Yeah, my little one has terrible I think it's allergies because I'm sneezing like 20 times a day. In California, the allergies are severe right now.
Yes, super bloom is happening.
So anyway, but we're here. We made it. And I'm always just so worried about you every day because...
Oh, stop that.
I know, but I feel like you have a lot of pregnancy symptoms.
I am pregnant, so...
But like a lot.
It's happening.
Like you came... She came over the other night and... I think you went to go throw up in the bathroom, and then I had my phobia vomiting, so there was a whole mix of things happening.
I was just coughing really bad. I didn't throw up, luckily.
But, like, you're kind of back to throwing up now, and then I was, like, panicking for you, and then I, like, almost was crying for you. I was like, I just feel for you. You have, like, inflamed nasal cavity, cough, pelvic pain, pain,
she's gonna be
vomiting.
Super cute and funny. She's gonna be a great baby. We can't
I'm
wait to meet her.
Like, I'm so sorry.
It's all good. It's all good.
I just feel like as a culture, we're like, oh, pregnant people, okay. I'm like, no. It's pretty. It can be rough. So anyway, you're here. I'm glad you're here, but I worry about you every. Like yesterday, you called me twice in a row because there was like a scheduling thing, and I was like, oh, something's wrong. We're in trouble. Like I just instantly went to like, should I call 911?
Oh.
But anyway, okay, you're here.
We're good.
We're going to do it. Well, I'm really excited. We're gonna talk to Megan today. I'll have you read her bio, and then we'll just jump right in and introduce her and get started.
Absolutely. Love okay. It. So today we have with us Megan Farrell-Gordon, who's the creator of Balance by Megan, an online community designed to empower and inspire you on your wellness journey so that you can be the best version of yourself. Megan is the host of Balance Your Life podcast, a 500-hour yoga teacher, a meditation teacher and trainer, wellness influencer, and human design reader. She lives in Nova Scotia with her husband, loves to travel, practice yoga, get outside in nature, and geeks out over anything wellness. Welcome, Megan. We're so happy to have you.
Hi, Megan.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay.
Welcome. Well, I like to start a lot of the times with just like better understanding how our guests got where they are today. So maybe you can give us just a quick version of like, a little bit of your journey. How did you end up where you are today in the work that you're doing?
Yeah. So I will make this as quick as possible because it's like, I always joke. I'm like, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
I started off like, I mean, being born, I had really severe asthma. I was always sick. I was always struggling. I was diagnosed very, very young with obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety and depression. And that was around grade 4, grade 5. I was put on antidepressants and anxiety medication because my OCD was just really, really out of control. And then when I was around 12 years old, I was sexually assaulted for quite a while by a family member. And this just kind of like exasperated everything. I mean, I never really had any sleepovers because I was terrified to go into anybody's house. I was always afraid to like leave my parents for fear of something terrible happening to them or to myself, which is a really common sign of OCD. And when I was around 15, my mom thought she would take me to like a yoga class that her friend was doing in her basement. And I just could not get into it. I was like, this, I just don't get the point of this. Everyone was like older than me. And I was just like, I'm just not feeling this vibe. And so I kind of just went through life struggling a little bit. And I met who is now my husband. And he was like, at the time, I mean, my grandfather, who I was super close with, he was passing away. It was just a really, really rough year. And my husband, my boyfriend at the time, was like, you know what? Things kind of can't get any worse than where they are now. Like, you can do this. You can come off of your medication. I will be right there with you. Like, I understand that this is going to be a long haul. Like, you're going to go through withdrawal. But, like, how much worse can it kind of get? Which, in my head, I was like, he's right. So I ended up completely stopping taking my medication, which I never recommend anyone to do. My doctor was infuriated with me. But during this time, like, I was sleeping so much. Like, I would always have naps. I was sleeping a ton just from the medication, and I was kind of bored. And I thought to myself, like, what am I, like, usually at this time I'm having a nap. Like, what am I supposed to do? And this little voice, and it sounds so woo-woo to say, but, like, this little voice was like, try yoga. And in my head, I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do yoga, I want to make it a workout. So, like, I'm going to do, like, a power yoga class. And I literally threw on YouTube, I searched for a 20-minute power yoga class, and it totally kicked my butt. And I was, like, determined from that point on. I was like, you know, I'm going to do the same video 3 times a week until I've mastered it. And I mean, like, I've always been a smaller person, but I was not in good shape by any means. Like, holding a plank pose was just, like, not happening. And doing it 3 times a week, you know, I started to notice physical changes in my body. I was able to hold those planks. I was able to do some of these poses. And I also noticed, like, on the mat, my mind would go quiet. And it was, like, the only time I wasn't self-sabotaging, or I wasn't mean to myself, or, like, the thoughts in my head weren't, like, just, like, you suck, basically. And from 3 days a week, it turned to 4 days a week, trying different videos. 4 days a week turned to 5, and soon I was doing it every single day, and not necessarily like an hour every day. Sometimes it was just 20 minutes, but my sleep improved, you know, because these physical changes were happening in my body. I was like, well, I want to start to eat better, because at this point I literally lived on chicken fingers and fries, and you could get a carrot inside of me, maybe some corn if you were lucky. So I was like, I know I'm going to start to eat better and, like, help advance this physical, these physical changes I'm seeing. And then they became, like, emotional changes and mental changes. And just, like, I was that student in high school. I remember going back to see some teachers later, and they were literally like, Megan, we thought you were going to be a statistic. Like, I was suicidal throughout high school. And
wow.
Yoga had just so profoundly changed my life that I was like, I have to bring this into the world. Like, if it can do what I would consider myself, like, such a train wreck, like, if it can revamp my life, it can do wonders for just anybody. And from there, I went and took my teacher training, and I just kept adding things to the pile.
I love that. And I think what you're bringing, it's what's coming up for me when you're talking about this, is what we talk about in terms of movement versus exercise at WeShape, which is this concept of, like, we're here to nurture our body and nurture our spirit and our soul and our psyche. And so much of our culture around exercise has been as a means of changing how our body looks. And it's like it completely takes us away from the connection that we can have and the benefit that we can have from movement, right? Like, I even did a WeShape workout yesterday, and I was like, that felt like I was really focused on my form, and I wasn't doing, like, crazy ballistic movements. I was just moving. And even today, my body felt that. But in the moment, I was like, oh, that was too easy. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's your training, that, like, it has to be this way in order to have the benefit. But what I hear you saying is that, like, you just kind of fell in love with movement and connecting with your body. And as a result, you benefited greatly psychologically and emotionally.
I would say the psychological and the mental aspect of it has far outweighed the physical. Like, physically, yes, my body has changed, but I love yoga so very much. It's my bread and butter. But, you know, as time kind of went on, I started introducing Pilates, because I was like, I just kind of wanted to, like, challenge myself a little bit. And then I started doing some weight training. And now that it's funny because I'm also pregnant. I'm 35 weeks pregnant.
I'm 35 weeks pregnant.
What's your due date?
July. Well, it's supposed to be July 8th, but they're thinking he might make an appearance earlier.
I'm July 7th.
Are you serious?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We'll have to like message each other and be like, oh my God. But like
instant best friends.
Exactly. Yeah. I, you know, and it's funny because now that I'm 35 weeks pregnant, like my whole mindset has been, I want to be as healthy as possible for me and baby. It has nothing to do with weight loss or weight gain. You know, some people are like, you're going to bounce right back after the baby. I'm like, that's not the point of this. The point is I want to be as healthy as possible for myself and for a baby. And like, if it makes labor a little easier, I'm here for it.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I just think you bring up such an important point just around why we're doing something, right? It's like, if we're doing something because our culture tells us, like, you need to look this way, it just, to me, that's, like, so short-lived. It's like when people come to us and they're like, oh, I've tried this and then I couldn't do it, and then I tried this and then I quit, and then I tried I'm like, why are you doing those things? And most of the time it's like, oh, because I wanted to lose weight. Yeah. Oh, because I wanted to fit in these pants. And I'm like, yeah, we got to shift the intention, and we got to focus on things like mental health, connection with body, feeling great. Like, and I know that sounds kind of lame. It's not – and this is where I've struggled with B-shape, because – I think I told you before, Megan, when I was on your show, that, like, you know, my co-founder and I, Tyler, like, had a successful fitness business, and it was all predicated on helping people lose weight and getting the toned body or whatever. And I just was like, no one was ever happy with that. And they thought they would be happy, but they weren't. And it really wasn't serving anybody. And so to be able to, you know, go into this company now, old colleagues will be like, you're not going to be able to sell that. It's not sexy. Like, people don't want to buy feeling well. And I'm like, you know what? I think there are people who do want that now. I think that tides are changing, seasons are shifting. And I think I've told you guys this before, but every morning I wake up and I ask for the universe to bring me people who want WeShape, not people that I have to convince, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want people who want this. I want people who are ready to throw out the old toxic narrative around lose weight and have this body type. And I want people who are like, you know what? F that. Like, I'm ready just to feel better in my body. I'm ready to connect with myself in a way I haven't connected with. And I'm ready to try something different. And I think what you're highlighting so much is just, I think a lot of us struggle with anxiety and depression and various things that really impact our day-to-day life. One, I don't think we talk about those things enough. And two, I think that since most of us are so focused on these other reasons why we, you know, move our body or give our body nutrition, and when we shift the reason why we're doing it, I think that so much can change. Like, how different would have your experience been if you're like, I want to do this because I want to be this number on the scale? Like, right. I wonder if you'd still be doing it.
That brings me to a question I was going to have for you, which I just loved what you said, and I wanted to kind of say it again about doing the yoga and noticing your mind going quiet. That has been my experience with a movement practice and a meditation practice. They both have a place in my life, but they kind of show up a little differently. But when I'm having really a hard time dropping into like a meditation space, a movement practice can really get me there if I'm not able to like just, you know, sit. Because sometimes it's really hard to be like, oh, I'm going to sit for 20 minutes. Like your brain's like, super hard. Not today, girl, not happening. Yeah. And so when I'm like, okay, that's not going to work for right now. But if I do a moving meditation, which I think yoga is really a great version of, and I think I could be wrong. You can correct me because you have the 500 hour training. I believe yoga has a level of spiritual practice in it, like kind of woven through its practice. So I think it's kind of designed that way, that you are actually so much more able to drop into your body and out of your brain, which was where we spend, I don't know, 99% of our lives. Like, we're on our phones, we're in our heads, and we're not always in our bodies. And to be in your body is a really peaceful place if you're able to kind of find it. And it's hard. So I think a movement practice is such a beautiful way to do that. It's an avenue.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it was interesting because I was actually talking with a professional that my older daughter sees yesterday. And my older daughter has a lot of the things that you're saying, Megan. And you know what her recommendation was to me? She goes, I'm wondering if you're curious about this particular schooling that maybe she could try for a year where it's all focused on integrative movement patterns and children are just moving their bodies in a really intentional way. Because I think that when you think about anxiety, a perfect day to wear anxiety is my cardio sweatshirt. When you think about anxiety, it's like you're not grounded in your body. You're like out here, right? You're like out. It's like the racing thoughts and the rapid heart rate. You're not having an in-body experience. Mm-hmm. You're outside of your body. And her point with that was like, if you can get your daughter to get in her body through really intentional movement practices, it helps those, it helps the anxiety so much. And so I'm wondering if like that's also probably what's happening when you're saying like, I was just moving my body and getting in my body. So it was like giving your body an opportunity to take a break from the racing thoughts.
Yeah, there's like this, I'm totally going to butcher the exact saying of it, but it's like a Chinese proverb. And it's like, if you're living in the future, you're dealing with anxiety. If you're living in the past, you're likely dealing with depression. And I feel like so many of us can relate to that. Like, it's mm-hmm. true. Like, if we're upset about something or sad about things, it's like most of the time it has to do with something that didn't happen for us, or like a regret we had, or like, I wish I had done this. And then when it comes to anxiety, at least for, I would think a lot of us, I know for myself included, it's like, you're thinking so far in the future, like, what happens if these wildfires hit me? Like, I was just telling you, we're dealing with that. What happens if my house burns down? What happens if, like, baby decides to make an appearance during these wildfires? Like, you can get so wrapped up in, like, what the what ifs of the near future, even the far future, that you're taking yourself out of the present. And the way that I was taught yoga was, like, these eight limbs of yoga. So, like, these eight kind of, like, steps, I guess, if you will, in yoga. And it like really embodies like being in the present moment, like just focusing on things in the here and now. And, you know, we live in the real world. You got to think about your future at times. But like, how can we distinguish like a what if scenario versus like, you know, I'm planning for like retirement or like a trip coming up or like baby's making an appearance. Like, I got a plan for him to make his appearance. But like, how can I also do it while living in the present moment?
Oh, I think you bring up like a really good point just around, and one of my dreams with WeShape is to have some sort of, in our product, some sort of daily meditative practice, because I think training, it's like, you know, training your mind to reestablish its priorities and intentions and values, I think is a really valuable time well spent. And so this idea of how, like that, people in our community come to us all the time. Well, how do I not worry about the scale? Well, how do I get off the diet? Well, how do I do this? And I feel like a lot of times I'm just like, I don't know, be here right now. Like, what's right in front of us? Like, how do I, it always reminds me actually, and maybe this is a great time to tell the both of you this, but I never forget that when I had my second child, I had Tyler and I were running our other company. I had a 4-year-old and a newborn, and I regretfully did not plan my life accordingly to take much time off work. And so I feel like I just was like dropped into this pit of chaos. And I'll never forget, my dad came over, who's like one of the most grounded humans I've ever met. And I just remember looking at him, like fighting back the tears, like trembling inside. You know, my parents had 4 children. And I looked at him and I said, how did you do this? Like, I only have 2 kids. Like, I feel so in over my head right now, and my thoughts are racing. And he just looked at me and he said, I just did things that in 24-hour increments. I just did things one day at a time. And then he said, when the 24 hours felt overwhelming, I would take it down to 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And that has just sat with me forever. Just like when things are feeling like I'm not going to be able to, like I can't manage all the thoughts that are coming in my mind. What happens if I take it down to 24 hours? And then if I'm still overwhelmed there, I'm like, well, what happens if I take it down to this next hour? And I think that it's just such, it's like we're all saying the same thing in a different way, right? That just the value of presence and not feeling like we have to figure it all out. There are many people who come to our community who are desperate to get off a diet, who want to shift their values and intentions around movement and food. And it, a lot of it is just be here right now and just trust that if you have enough curiosity to go down a different path, the path will present itself.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. And I think it's so funny too, because sometimes we say this in the business sense of things, but we say like, sometimes you have to go slow to go fast. Mm-hmm. And I think yoga falls beautifully into this, but like occasionally when I have a really crazy day and I've like got a billion things to do, rather than like dive deeper into like what's on the next task list, I'm like, you need to go on a 10-minute walk. Like, you need to step out of this for 1 second and let your brain kind of come back to baseline. or maybe do a yoga practice or some other loved movement practice to get away from it for a sec so your brain can kind of like reorganize itself. And then you're so much more productive. You're so much more capable of showing up. And that resiliency or that cup being more full gives you the opportunity to be able to show up in a way and potentially get way more done. That's been my experience.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys relate to that, but that's been my experience.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Hey there, if you're enjoying the WeShape podcast and you've heard us talk about WeShape before, then you're probably thinking to yourself, hey, what is WeShape? Well, at WeShape, we create personalized at-home workouts for every single one of our members. These are workouts where every single movement is customized to you to help you connect with your body and care for your body in a much more meaningful way. We also have a community of people there to support you, to help uplift you as you examine your beliefs, set new intentions, and again, start showing up for yourself as an act of self-care rather than trying to do your workouts as an act of self-judgment. And hey, if you're a fan of the podcast, we also do a live podcast discussion group on Zoom, as well as other Q&As, as well as free challenges for all of our members to help you get motivated to actually start taking action to caring for yourself so you can feel better in your body and about your body. So if you want to try WeShape for free for 2 full weeks, go to weshape.com/podcast and you can get started today.
And so tell me a little bit about, like, do you work with clients in terms of like helping develop a daily meditation practice, and what does that look like? Because I think meditation can feel really overwhelming for people who are not, you know, like for me, I do like a little bit of meditation, but not a ton. So I'm not well practiced. And I know if someone told me you have to go meditate for 30 minutes today, like I would be a little overwhelmed by that.
Yeah. I work with clients one-on-one, and I also do meditation teacher training. So I work with people to certify them to be meditation teachers. And for me, like I find it the most ironic thing, because I was so against meditation when I first started yoga. I remember being in teacher training and the studio owner at the time was like, okay, we're going to do a meditation. And I was like, not for me. Like, I'm no thank you. Because I had this like misconception of like, okay, you got to be cross-legged, chanting Om in a dark room. Like you kind of see these people, I guess, or these portrayals of meditation. And I was like, this is not for me. And I will say my first meditation teacher was very much like the straight spine, like you sit up nice and tall. And I ended up finding another meditation teacher that I really resonated with. And she was like, get comfortable. Like, you know, like if you choose to sit up, great. If you need to lie down for a little bit, great. And I also believe in just starting out with 5 minutes. And a lot of people find like a guided meditation is the easiest way to start, because it takes all the guesswork out. You are literally listening to a practitioner's voice tell you, breathe like this, in and out, visualize this, repeat this mantra or affirmation, or just focus on the breath, like whatever that guided meditation looks like, rather than just this idea of like emptying your mind, because that is so overwhelming. And there's lots of days where I'm like, that didn't happen. You know, like
yeah,
we met
a big ask.
It's a big ask, especially when there's a lot going on. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but for someone who's brand new and they're like, I got to sit for like how long and just like have no mind. Like just, I'm like, it's not going to happen for someone who's brand new to the practice, or very few, I should say. It's not impossible. So I say start out really small, pick 5 minutes, and find a teacher that really resonates with you, you know. And I'm very clear, like, I mean, I have meditation programs and trainings, and I do meditations on YouTube and Insight Timer and stuff. But if it's not me, that's fine. Just find a teacher you gravitate towards. Pick a time of day that you really, really feel like you could commit to. Are you more morning or an evening person? Make it either the first thing you do in the morning or the last thing you do at night. I'm not like, it doesn't have to be a morning practice. It can be a nighttime thing. But there's a, try it out for a little bit. There's a little bit of this dance of like being a little bit disciplined. So you can't try it for a day and go, that didn't work for me. It's not happening. Like we do have to commit to a, you know, a little bit of time. I always say try it out for a few weeks. If you decided you wanted to do it in the evening and, you know, after 3 weeks, you're like, it's just not working, try the morning. Switch it up to the morning. Try that. That's exactly what I did. I started with evening, I switched to the morning, and I found that worked so much better for me. And, you know, 5 minutes seems like eternity when you're first starting out. And then it was like you craved it. And it was like, oh my, maybe I could do 10 minutes. And even still, my practice doesn't very much look like anything over more than 10 to 15 minutes. Sometimes it's a little longer. Honestly, most times it's about 10 to 15 minutes. And it switches. Like right now I'm really into like breath work. So I've been doing that a lot more. But I love, like, I'm a huge affirmation person. I focus on meditations with affirmations because at least to me, I'm like, I'm repeating something. Even if it's in my head, it kind of gives you something tangible to do. Like you repeat, inhale the affirmation and exhale the affirmation. And I think that's, it kind of allows people to dip their toe in the water. 5 minutes, pick a time of day, start with a guided meditation. And I would say, try that and just see where it takes you from there.
And I think, oh, you go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I love that you said that it changes, because I think that people get really, especially when it comes to, I'll call them positive adjustments in their life. Like, I want to be healthier. I want to have a meditation practice. I want to whatever. It super ends up being really black and white in our mind. Like, I want to, I'm going to be this girl today and I'm going to be this girl tomorrow. And that's it. And there's no in between. And to build a practice, like, you have to allow for that flexibility. To be like, yeah, I'm really doing it at night and I'm loving that and it's helping me sleep. And then, oh, it's not really working that same way. But that doesn't mean I have to throw it out and say this isn't ever going to work for me. But maybe I'll try it a little different way, or do guided, or do silent, or do a different option. Because I know my brain loves to be like, it's this or it's that. And there's nothing in between. Either I'm failing at meditating or I'm succeeding, and there's no gray area. And I just think that's like, we're so hard on ourselves, especially with any kind of positive change in life.
And I think we do this thing as humans where we like attach our experiences and our feelings to who we are as a person. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny, like we were talking about how Tyler and Ellie are gone this week. And the first night they were gone, our house is very different when they're not there. They're both very high energy people. And there's sort of a lot of energy to navigate in the evenings when all of us are there. And the first night, I remember thinking, oh, this will be great for them, but it'll also be nice for Macy and I to have a little bit of like kind of more downtime. But the first night, I had level 10 anxiety. Mm. And it was because my nervous system wasn't used to quiet. And I just was like, don't attach to any of these things that are happening right now. Right. Because what's happening is you're like attaching to the feeling that you need to be doing something. You're attaching to the anxiety about like, why am I feeling anxious? Like, just observe it all and just like trust the process. And I think that we can do that in this too. Like if you do 5 minutes and you're like, I'm anxious, this isn't for me. It's like don't attach to any of those thoughts. Just like look at it as a science experiment. Try it for a week or two and then like see if anything happens. Because I think what happens is we try something and it's not something that our nervous system or our mind are used to. And if we have any anxiety or any discomfort, then we just go, fine, it's not for me.
Right.
And it's like, well, why don't you give yourself a couple days to see? Because sure enough, last night I was like, oh, I can get used to this quiet time, you know, but like it takes a little time. So I think also just trusting the process, and like if 5 minutes feels too long, do 1 minute, then do 2 minutes, then do 3 minutes, then do four. But just like trusting the process and not attaching yourself like, oh, I'm not a meditation person, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
It's those attachments that I think get a lot of us stuck, myself included.
Can't make a decision off of one data point.
Yeah.
Like write it down and try again tomorrow.
Yeah. So Megan, did you notice that in your own journey where you were like, oh my gosh, I'm not a meditator. I mean, you said you weren't interested in it. So like, what do you think kept you just like, about how long into it were you like, oh, I'm feeling the benefits of this?
It was that first day being in teacher training, when literally when the studio owner was like, we're going to meditate. And I was like, absolutely not. And we sat in a circle. She took us through a meditation and I sat there, and we were supposed to afterwards share, you know, go in a circle, share what our experience level was with that, or how we had felt about the experience. And I was bawling my eyes out. Like they had to skip over me. I was just like a disaster. And when it came back around to me, I said, this is the only time that I've not been mean to myself. I've not had a terrible thought or an anxious thought, or just like a, like, yeah, you're not doing this right. Type of thought. Like it was truly the first time that my mind had gone quiet. And that for me was like, I, even if I can get 5 minutes a day of out of it doing this, that's what I'm going to do. And literally from that day on, I was like, I'm setting the timer. I'm doing this for 5 minutes. And Sundays were easier than others. There were still lots of days where the timer goes off or the meditation ends. And I'm like, oh, well, went through the grocery list on that one. Like, that didn't happen today. But there's lots of times where I'm like, you just feel more peaceful. You feel more grounded. You almost like, there are times where like, more so, I guess, if I'm doing like a breath work practice, but you almost get like this high, like in a good positive way. Like you just feel like you can conquer the world afterwards. And I find that if I do that, for me, it's now in the morning, I feel like I'm better able to handle so much more throughout my day. I'm really able to step back if something like triggers me or something big happens, and, you know, use my breath work, go back to an affirmation, go back to my meditation and be like, okay, like, let's just take this, you know, 1 hour at a time. Let's just break down this problem. Like, let's just step away from this problem. I'm more preventative. I'm not so reactive, I have found, with my meditation practice. And I would say that that honestly happened for me kind of instantly. And that was just with 5 minutes a day.
Wow. What a powerful, I mean, when you really think about a lot of life's challenges, it really is all about what we believe in our mind, right? Which is why one of the pillars of WeShape is beliefs, because if we can focus on that, then everything changes. And what I hear you talking about, Megan, is this intentional practice around movement, yoga, meditation. It's sort of it's like we don't have to figure it out in our mind. We can just do something like movement or a 5-minute meditation, and then trusting that process will allow sort of the benefits of the mind to kind of take place, the benefits that we're hoping to get from that powerful mind that we all have. So I'm so appreciative of you like sharing your journey, and just what I am really walking away from today is like just the power behind something small like a 5-minute meditation, or the power behind connecting with your body through movement, through an intention of just this different intention other than like, I need to like burn calories or lose weight. It's like this intention of like, I just need to take some time for myself, care for my body, move my body. And through these modalities of, you know, short meditations and movement, you're able to have immense emotional and psychological benefit. And I just want to keep delivering that message to our community, because I think it's such a valuable message. So before we let you go, though, I want to let people know where they can find you. So where can people find you if they're interested in learning more?
Thank you so much for this. And like, the one thing I just want to say too is like, I think it's a really powerful visualization to picture. Like, you think of like a pebble on a beach. If it goes by with the water one time, it doesn't really make a indent in the sand, but the more it goes back and forth, the more like deeper that groove gets. And you know, there's lots of meditation teachers that say that's the power of like rewiring your brain too. Like the first time you do it, you may be like, I didn't feel a thing, like, that did not work for me. But the more you do it, the more it becomes habit, the more it becomes that deeper groove, until like I can't imagine my life without it. Thank you so much for this. If people want to just like hang out with me online or check out, I have a couple of different trainings and programs. I just launched a Yoga Mama Journey one. So that one includes, we have workouts, fitness, meditations. It has like, you know, a diaper bag, hospital bag checklist. It's got like a bunch of things in it. But you can just find everything at balancebymegan.com. And I'm Balanced by Megan, MEGHAN, across Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all the places.
Love awesome. It. Well, thank you again, Megan. And everyone go check out Megan's website and her social accounts for more fabulous content. And if you're looking to get in touch with us, you can reach us at podcast@weshape.com. And we will see everyone next week.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoyed today's show. Now, before you go, it would mean a lot to us if you could take a moment right now to subscribe to the podcast and then leave us a review. This helps spread the word so more people can feel lighter by shedding one belief at a time. Also, we want to hear from you. So if this episode impacted you, or you have any questions that you think would be great for us or any of our future guests, please feel free to email us at podcast@weshape.com. And finally, if you want to try WeShape's different approach to health and fitness, make sure you click the link in our podcast description or go to weshape.com/free where you can build your first workout and activate your 2-week free trial. See you next week.